Let's turn in the back of our Psalter hymnal to page 28, the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 21, question and answers 55 and 56, page 28. Continue here with this Lord's Day this week. Question 55 asks this: what do you understand by the communion of saints? First, that believers one and all, as members of this community, share in Christ and in all his treasures and gifts. Second, that each member should consider it his duty to use his gifts readily and cheerfully for the service and enrichment of the other members. What do you believe concerning the forgiveness of sins? I believe that God, because of Christ's atonement, will never hold against me any of my sins, nor my sinful nature, which I need to struggle against all my life. Rather, in his grace, God grants me the righteousness of Christ to free me forever from judgment. Now let us take our Bibles and turn in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is found on page 1219 in the Bibles that are there in the racks and the pews. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. First Corinthians 12, beginning at verse 1. People of God, hear now the very words of God. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in every one. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. Now let us turn to the book of 1 John, chapter 1. It's found on page 1301. 1 and 2 Peter, and then 1, 2, 3 John. 1 John 1, begin reading at verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. As far as the reading of God's holy word. Congregation, God made humans, mankind, to live in fellowship. Not isolated. Not disconnected. We saw from our sermon series, Genesis, and then with marriage and the family, God instituted marriage. Because it was not good that the man should be alone. So marriage, the family, those are things God made where we're together. Well, he also instituted the church, which is a communion of saints, forgiven saints. Sin divides. Sin separates. Sin brings hostility. But God brings about reconciliation. That is what God is about in our history. His glory in glorifying himself by reconciling sinners to himself and to each other. I proclaim to you this morning that the Spirit connects believers to Christ and each other. The Spirit connects believers to Christ and each other. First, we consider this communion of saints that we share in Christ. We're sharing in Christ. Now, when we confess that we believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, it might not seem at first that we're confessing anything about Christ. It seems to be focused on our union with each other. But then we need to go back to how we are joined to one another. Think of a trade union. A trade union often calls itself a brotherhood, don't they? Brothers, they refer to each other. Well, a brotherhood of what? Brothers from what father? We Christians are brothers, brothers and sisters throughout the Bible. That's how we're spoken of. We who are believers are brothers from God the Father, adopted for the sake of Jesus, joined to him. And our communion with each other is a reality. It's a reality because we are truly joined to Christ and thus to each other. The communion of saints, then, it's rooted in, it finds its fundamental reality in that we are united to Christ. We share in Christ. The apostle write in what we read, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, you are the body of Christ. And it's the Spirit of Christ who lives within us. Verse 13. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. All were made to drink of one Spirit. This is the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit who leads us to confess, again, as we read in verse 3, Jesus is Lord. And it is only in, as the Apostle says, in, by the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, that one truly can say, Jesus is Lord. The Holy Spirit changes our hearts. He joins us to Christ. He gives us new spiritual birth in Christ. He connects us. He joins us. He unites us to Jesus. Now that's a mystery. But how else could this be a communion of saints? To be a saint is to be a holy one. That's what the word saint means, a holy one. To be set apart from sin and fallenness, set apart to righteousness, set apart to God Himself. Saints aren't some super spiritual Christians in themselves. Every true Christian is a saint, is a holy one. Children, you believers in Jesus, you are a saint. You don't have to go through some process by the church. Now, by nature, we're sinful. We are anything but holy, anything but being a saint. It's because Jesus joins us to Himself. He took upon Himself our human nature. And in that nature, He fulfilled all righteousness for us, suffering and dying on Golgotha's cross, enduring God's wrath against sin. Because of His suffering, our sin has been paid for. And on the third day, Christ rose again from the dead. He didn't stay dead. And so He brings righteousness. He brings eternal life to us, to man. And so we are brought out of our sin unto righteousness, unto holiness. Jesus has brought holiness to man and His chosen ones into that holiness. And Him is salvation. We praise God for the gift of Jesus, don't we? And that God, for the sake of Jesus, truly and really forgives all the sins of all those who believe in Jesus. Trust Him. Turn from sin. That's the call that goes out. Here is holiness. It's in Christ, and it's nowhere, nowhere else in the world. It's in Christ. And it's the Holy Spirit who joins us to Christ, who actually then takes us and He separates us from the fallen world spiritually, from fallenness, and He joins us to Christ, so we share in His blessedness, or as the Catechism puts it, in all His treasures and gifts. God's Spirit moves us away from living to sin to living according to God's holy law. What did we read in 1 John 1, verse 9? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so by His grace, we walk in the light. We have fellowship with Him, the Holy God. That's the starting point. That's the fountain of the communion of saints. It is Christ, His holiness, that He is brought for us sinners. And the Spirit of Christ joins us to Christ, so we share in His holiness. We don't have it in and of ourselves. It's His. And so we become holy ones, saints. Dear friend, do you know this? Does that describe you? Have you personally been brought out of this spiritual darkness, as John puts it here in chapter 1? Or are you still living in darkness, living a life of sin, living against God's law, living as you want to live, rather than as God commands, rather than the righteousness Christ has brought? The one who lives in sin is not walking with God, is not fellowshipping with Him, is under God's wrath. We are to turn from that always. As we read again in verse 9, 1 John 1, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And such a one being cleansed is holy. The Spirit connects believers to Christ and each other. And in so doing, we are made saints. We're sharing in Christ. So that's where it starts. But there's more to this communion of saints. So the foundation's been laid, the source, Christ. Now also, though, as we move to in our second point, we are joined to each other. We're joined to each other. And we read 1 Corinthians 12, almost the entire chapter. And God has the Apostle Paul write in that chapter about how we are joined to each other. And he uses that analogy of a body, members of one body. Believers are joined to Christ, certainly because of that we are joined to each other. Now, if we're honest, sometimes we'd rather not be joined to others. We like the idea of being joined to Jesus, right? After all, from Jesus, united to Jesus, we receive righteousness, forgiveness, hope, renewal from sin. But other people, they're messy. Sometimes, perhaps they annoy. Perhaps they offend. Perhaps they sin against us. Or maybe even they just do things differently. They make mistakes. Ask someone who's part of a so-called home church why he or she left the organized institutional church. And it's common. What you often hear is they had a bad experience. Not with Jesus, but with people. With the church. Well, instead of doing what God calls us to do, though, they do something else. And they abandon the church. Forsake it. They start their own so-called home church. Living with people is messy. People are messy. I'm messy. You're messy. We all are messy. Because we're fallen. Because we're sinners. Anytime you put two sinners together, you get messiness. Even in a marriage. Now, we were able to witness marriage on Friday. God joining together. Man and a woman. Husband and wife. Join them together. Them being sinners. You join them together till death parts them. And think of a marriage. Just because things get messy. Is that a just cause for divorce? Just because people annoy and offend and even sin against. Is that cause for divorce? Think of parenting. Things get messy, inconvenient, hard in parenting. Is that a just cause to say, no, I'm done with you, child. Forget it. No, it's not. So why would someone think encountering messiness in the church is reason to leave the church? That's not biblical. We don't find anything like that in the Bible. And let's be clear, someone who does that, who cuts himself off from the church, is sinning and needs to repent of his or her sin. Being joined to Christ, we are joined to each other. If you look at the letters that God had the Apostle Paul write, most of those letters are to churches. Well, you've got 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, right? More to pastors of churches. You've got Philemon, you know, to a member of the church. But even in those, there's an aspect of the whole. And so many other ones. Corinthians is written to the saints. To the entire church. Why? Because that's what God is about. And we saw last time in the Holy Catholic Church that we confessed, it's a divine work. The church is a work of God. We read here in chapter 12 about how the church is the body of Christ. We read just that. And the members of the church are joined to Christ and to each other. That metaphor, that word picture of body, that's how God chose to describe us. Now, children, think of your body. Your left hand, it's different than your right foot, isn't it? Completely different. But they're both parts of your body. And your soul, your spirit, so to speak, dwells in each one. Directing it how you tell it to. So does your left hand ever not get along with your right foot? Or does your left foot ever not get along with your right foot? Well, sometimes that happens, right? Sometimes, kids, you trip. You know, your left foot, your right foot, they don't quite work things out and they trip. And some people, it happens more than other people. Or think of a seizure. There are parts of a body that aren't acting like part of the body. They're not listening to the head. There's a glitch, an electrical glitch there or something. And it seems like those parts are doing what they want to do. Well, it's like that in the body of Christ in a fallen world. We're joined to each other, but because of our sin and our sinfulness, sometimes we trip over each other, don't we? Because of sin, sometimes we're not listening to our head as we ought, spiritually speaking. A congregation then is in the midst of a seizure, spiritually speaking, or maybe two members are. They're sinning. They're not listening to the head. They're not walking according to the Spirit, and so they're not getting along with other members of the body. But now remember, when Jesus ministered on earth, what did he do? Well, many things, but one of what he did is he healed. He healed those who had seizures. We read of that in the gospel accounts. He healed those whose bodies did not do what their head told them to do, whose bodies, even more, and we saw this in Matthew already, were controlled by demons rather than by themselves. So too, Jesus is even now busy healing our spiritual seizures. And he sends his Spirit to us to join us to himself, to renew us, to sanctify us, to get along with others in his body. Now be sure, again, there's still trip-ups, there's still seizures, but Christ is at work. Do not abandon the body of Christ. Do not forsake the church. For forsaking that's the path that leads to destruction. To cut yourself off from a congregation would be as though a finger would cut itself off from the body. Children, what would happen to that finger if you'd cut it off? It would die, wouldn't it? The body wouldn't die. The finger would. Oh, the body would be injured, yes. But it would not die. It would go on. Cut yourself off from the church. Refuse to come to worship services. Say, well, I can come, but you know, I'm just going to stay home because it's so much more convenient to watch on the internet. Or, I don't need that. I can do this. Oh, just me and Jesus. To cut yourself off and say, I don't need an authority over me, these elders. I don't need someone holding me accountable. To cut yourself off, to refuse to come, to stop listening, communicating, to not fellowship, that's the path of destruction, of death. Don't go down that path. Young adults, young people, don't go down that path. The Spirit connects believers to Christ and each other. Accept that connectedness of belonging to Christ as part of it. Don't view it as a burden, as something weighing you down. It's who you and I are in Christ, joined to His body, joined to each other. And so make the most of it. Live with this connectedness. And we moved into part of that in our third point, serving one another. Serving one another. And that comes out in our reading from 1 Corinthians 12. Each member of the body is to serve one another. Verse 25. That there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. Then the next verse. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. We're joined to Christ. We're joined to one another. Christ, by His Spirit, bestows gifts, and we read of that in this chapter, gifts upon each member of His body, each Christian. Why? Well, what is the catechism? How does it say it? So we would use our gifts readily and cheerfully for the service and enrichment of the other members. 1 Corinthians 12 lists various gifts, but then we saw in our brief series through 1 Corinthians 13, the apostle there teaches about love. Love which surpasses all. Which, as verse 31, the very end, we didn't read it, but you can read it now. I will show you a still more excellent way. We aren't apostles. We aren't prophets. We don't have gifts of miracles or healings or tongues anymore. But all of us are to love. To love one another. Now, God has given gifts, each one of us, some gifts in some measure. It's my duty to use these gifts for others, not just for ourselves. Again, for others. Think of Christ. He is the gifted one, isn't he? From whom all our gifts flow. And yet, children, did Jesus serve himself while on earth? No. Whom did he serve? Well, the Father and us, even to the point of laying down his life, suffering and dying on the cross for us as our substitute. Did Jesus do that grudgingly? No, not at all. Did Jesus drag his feet? Did he have to have Peter, James, and John come on, Jesus, you've got to go do this great task? No, they tried to turn him away from it. And Jesus said what? Get behind me, Satan, to Peter. He went. He did it cheerfully. He did it readily. Even though he knew it would bring him to Golgotha's cross, supreme sacrifice. He united himself to us, and so he lived out that unity, that association and connection. Jesus, of all people, was thinking theologically and lived it. And so it is to be with us, brothers and sisters, to not do how we feel, what Christ has called us to, what he has gifted us to do. What has God gifted you with? Now, we could go through various spiritual gift lists in the Bible, but broaden out, what has God given you? Everything. Absolutely everything. Why did he give you what you have? So you and I, so we can spend it on ourselves? Absolutely not. Parents, God has given you time. He's given you money. He's given you strength. He's given you wisdom and so forth, in part to serve your children and others with these things. Not as they think best. No, you're the parent. But according to what is best, according to God's word. And that's not just for blood relatives. Maybe some people want to restrict serving to blood relatives, but it's for the church family also. Of course, we are to take great care of our blood relatives. Now, we'll consider that more this evening, with stewardship. But it's not just them. What has God given you? Has God given you time? Use it. Use it to pray for the church family. Use it perhaps in other ways to help. Has God given you money? Use it. Has he given you gifts with words? Use it. Handiwork, care, compassion. Use it. Again, not to just barrel in and say, well, God's giving me this gift and now here you go. Now, there's a sensitivity there, a wisdom there, right? A humility there. But a willingness. Again, I give God thanks for the ready spirit of service that he's given to the saints here. We're blessed. We're not perfect, whether that be individually or as a whole. And sometimes, you know, there are places where some ought to be serving more than they are. Examine yourselves. How are you serving in this body? How are you using what God has given you? But God has blessed us. Now, sometimes we're limited, aren't we? Sickness at times, old age. But that's just shifting it. Shifting it from one type of service to another. Don't let it be a heart problem of not serving. What are your gifts? Where are your priorities, people of God? Where does serving in the church, where does serving the saints fall? And yet we grow weary, don't we? We have friction. We have disagreements. How do we deal with these and keep serving? Well, we saw some time ago about forgiveness and healing of relationships, but go back to first principles. Paul sets it out here, even in 1 Corinthians 12. He brings out the gospel. What Christ has done, and how we're united then to him, and therefore united to each other. Pray for grace to remember that gospel more strongly. Pray for grace to love your brother, your sister in Christ. For grace to want to serve. It's perfectly okay if you don't feel like serving, if you're being hindered, to say, Lord, this isn't right. Forgive me, change me, give me a desire. And even without that, Lord, have me serve. Have me step out in faith. Pray that to God. He knows it already. Verbalize it. Ask that God would give you a thankful, a willing heart. God hears those prayers. And He answers. But don't serve only when you feel like it. And as the Catechism brings out, it is our duty. We are to do our duty in all things, even when we don't feel like it. But you know what? As you step out in faith, as you pray about it, God often brings those feelings around. The Spirit connects believers to Christ and each other, serving one another. Continue in your serving of one another. That's why God has given you all that He's given you. Yes, take time for refreshment. We don't have to run ragged. But understand, God hasn't given us what He's given us so we can consume it on our own pleasures, but to glorify Him and to serve one another, to serve those with whom we are most closely connected. It's part of the communion of saints. It's a blessed communion, refreshing. Because, you know, as you look out in the world, we don't see that communion, do we? Not a true communion, not a true fellowship. You see a lot of backstabbing, a lot of selfishness, ignoring, harming, outright conflict, war. Here in the church, in this communion, there's the blessedness of heavenly fellowship. It's found here because Christ by His Spirit is found here, uniting us to Himself, uniting us to one another. And all this communion we enjoy, we can enjoy because we've been made saints. We've been separated from sin. And as we move to in our fourth point, we've been forgiven. Forgiven our sins. Now we think to the Apostles' Creed, the articles of our Christian faith, and the article that comes after the Holy Catholic Church, the Communion of Saints, is the forgiveness of sins. Now earlier we said, and we can see it in the division brought out in the Catechism, that this part of the Apostles' Creed comes under the heading of God the Holy Spirit and our sanctification. But isn't forgiveness something that should come under the heading of the Son of God and our deliverance? Now, we are forgiven of our sins on the basis of what Christ did, not on the basis of what the Holy Spirit did or does. That's true. But we enter into that state of forgiveness only as the Holy Spirit works faith within our hearts, faith by which the Spirit unites us to Christ. It's then what Christ did for us becomes ours. Not only so, but it's only as we are a member of the Christian church, partake of the communion of saints, that we enjoy this forgiveness of sins. We can't truly enjoy this forgiveness of sins apart from communion with other saints. Apart from membership in the church, they're linked together. You say, well, how does that come? Well, we read it from 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. So if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. This is almost like the Apostles' Creed is just drawing right from here. I believe in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins. It's right there in verse 7. They're linked. This communion of saints, this walking in holiness, our fellowship with one another, and our being cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Again, we're forgiven only on the basis of Christ's righteousness, which we receive only through faith and not through our works at all. But God never works in an isolated fashion. Those who benefit from Christ's righteousness unto forgiveness through faith alone do so because we are joined to Christ. And thus, therefore, we are also joined to one another. We are being sanctified as members of Christ. That's the work of the Spirit. One cannot have Christ without also having His Spirit. We're not Eastern Orthodox who believe that the Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son proceeds from the Father only. No, we believe that the Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. You can't have the Spirit of Christ apart from Christ. The whole Christ. And His Spirit indwells us unto sanctification, the being in the church. And what a blessing that is. The communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins. This forgiveness of sins is having now in part what we will have fully on the last day. Now we have complete forgiveness now, but we will have the fullness of perfection on the last day. Lord willing, we'll come to that when we come to the resurrection of the body, the life everlasting. These blessings of being in the church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, they're heavenly blessings as we live in this fallen earth, as we walk in this valley of tears. They're not only evidence that God has not forgotten us. They're part of the reality of communing with God through Christ by His Spirit. It's part of our life as believers. Living after the Holy Spirit has been poured out upon the church, we live that much closer to the new heavens and new earth than even our brothers and sisters in the old covenant did. What a blessing God's given us, we who live in the new covenant. Of course, believers in the old covenant, they had their sins forgiven. But since Christ had not actually paid for those sins yet, Satan could still accuse them. They didn't have the comfort like we have. As God puts it in John there in verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can plainly say that because the sacrifice has been paid. Righteousness, Christ has done it. God is just in forgiving us, and Satan has no accusation ever against us. The Catechism brings up, we simply look back to Christ and His righteousness. And we rest in Him, His finished work. What a comfort. What a blessing. Believer, you're forgiven. Sins you actually commit? You know many of those sins. We're not even aware of all the sins we commit, but God knows them all. And God says, you're forgiven. Forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your sinful nature that clings to you to the day you leave this earth, forgiven. The psalmist even says, sins of youth, remember not. Forgive it. You might remember them. And they cry out. We cry out, wretched men that we are. Forgiven. Thanks be to God because of Jesus Christ. Forgiven. What have you done? Who are you? Believer, forgiven. That's what we confess. And that's what undergirds our entire Christian walk, personally as well as corporately. The redemption God has brought about by Jesus, accomplished, applied by His Spirit. One holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, forgiveness of sins. Why would anyone walk away from that? Truly, we are blessed. The Spirit connects believers to Christ and each other. Let us strive in the power of the Spirit daily to live out that connectedness, to rejoice in that forgiveness, all for God's glory. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for giving us your Son and in Him all that we need. Thank you for giving us your Spirit who joins us to your Son and to each other. Thank you for this communion of saints. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins. And now, Lord, send us forth to use what you have given us readily, cheerfully, for the enrichment of other members, for your glory, to rejoice in that free forgiveness, to bring glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.